Welcome back to episode 203, 203. Joe, how you doing?
Just fine, Tim. I was in an altercation.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Trader Joe's, outside there was a argument between a man, elderly guy, who didn't want to wear his mask, and it wasn't the employees. It was this other person who was upset with him, and they were getting pretty heated. And so I tried to step in between them, and the old guy grabbed me, and I tumbled over the other person and landed on the sidewalk. So the employees at Trader Joe's are calling me Fists of Fury now.
Was the old guy get to go shopping?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I was so upset. I just went up to my car. But I kind of think we're getting close to chaos. I always think we're close to chaos, but I don't know.
So
I'm
some
not
younger
sure. I think that'd
guys.
be the last time I'm going to try to, stand in between two guys that are angry. So
So
it was just absurd.
the younger guy's wearing a mask. He's mad at the old guy for not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
So.
Today, Trader Joe's changed their policy so that you do not have to wear a mask inside if you've been fully vaccinated.
How do they know you've been vaccinated?
Good question.
I know what to do is the customers that don't pass that or faint are the ones. That aren't vaccinated, so they'll be kicked out. So you just have people passing out.
In France, they had this idea for a vax passport.
Well, yeah, this is like conditioning for a passport where they're all saying they're creating a two-tier society, you know.
But they gave up on it, or at least it seems like they did. And now, this could change overnight, but at the last I heard, you can have a vax certificate or certificate of the vaccines that they approve of from a country they approve of. You can have a 72-hour-old PCR test, or you can have, strangely, an antigen test. So they're accepting these
You
three.
so you carry this on your person as you go shopping?
This is the problem. I know that they wanted to and actually
And store clerks are
talked
going to check
about,
this out?
yeah, they talked about a vax passport, but this would just be absolute chaos. I guess because they would have to exclude countries that don't really have a modern computer system to record the vax. I know that some African countries, you just get a piece of paper. I don't think India has a very sophisticated computer recording. And the Chinese are using different vaxes, as are the Russians. The Russians have the Sputnik vax. So I guess they just felt that was just too impossible for a tourist industry to handle all that. And they're saying, if you have a recent PCR test or an antigen test, you can come in too.
That's science
We'll
there.
see how long that lasts.
PCR tests unreliable. Masks don't work. There's no science, nor is there any standard for the mask or how you wear it. Nevertheless, you have to wear it. So, this is the science.
Yeah.
And in essence, if you agree, effectively, if you agree to take part in a mass drug trial, take a drug that is not approved by the FDA and nor can it be declared safe for whatever that's worth. Because it's not approved by the FDA, but nevertheless, they're saying you should take it, you know.
Tim, you sent me that video of the people who had found their areas where they had been vaccinated had become magnetic. I was amazed at how many of these videos have popped up. Do you think it's real, or is it
It's a
just a
video, it's interesting. It looks real. I mean, it looks real. It could be one of these things where it goes out. To draw people down blind alleys. It seems a little silly and crazy, but we live in a crazy world. I don't know. It is interesting.
I was amazed at it because the people seemed way too amateurish to be government operatives. If this is a psyop, boy, it's one of the best ones I've ever seen.
But they have, I mean, they do carry out these operations. I mean, the governments, like in Great Britain, announced they the U.S. the British military was involved in psychological warfare against the British people to get them to comply with, you know, whatever mandates come down the road in regards to the pandemic, you know. So who knows?
Sure.
You know, there's all yeah, Bell and Cat, that operation creating fake media news stories. So it's who knows? I mean, but you know, the videos do look authentic, you know, authentically amateurs, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah, if excuse me, if it's real, there should be tens of thousands more over the next
Yes.
couple of weeks. So
Yeah.
then it'll just grow to such a size that it can't really
It
be
can't be a
disputed.
state. Yeah.
It,
Yeah.
you know, I've asked a couple of people about this, and none of them who are biologists think it's possible. They have the idea that, you know, like what would it be that could be attracted to a magnet that would be inside a fluid? You know, so we'll see. But I'll tell you one thing, it's not a great advertisement for the vax, you
No.
know, so.
No. So, but anyway, this before this today I saw this news story and this is kind of combines the COVID pandemic narrative with the white supremacy terrorist narrative. This is the Associated Press. US warns extremists may strike as virus restrictions ease. A national terrorism alert issued Friday warns that violent extremists may take advantage of the easing of pandemic restrictions to conduct attacks. The alert does not cite any specific threats, of course not, but it warns a potential danger from an increasingly complex and volatile mix that includes domestic terrorists inspired by various grievances, racial, ethnic hatred, and influences from abroad. Wow, that is vague. Those threats were exacerbated by COVID-19, which spawned conspiracy theories and deepened anger at the government in some quarters over the shutdown of the economy. As virus conditions improve, the alert says new dangers loom. Violent extremists may seek to exploit the easing of COVID-19 related restrictions across the United States to conduct attacks against a broader range of targets after previous public capacity limits reduced opportunities for lethal attacks, the bulletin said. Without naming any specific potential targets, it notes that historically, extremists motivated by racial and ethnic hatred have targeted religious institutions and crowded businesses or gatherings. It reflects a sense of anxiety over domestic extremists, particularly those motivated by racial ethnic hatred. Boy, this article loves those. This is really poorly written. That has been building for months, even under the previous administration, with repeated warnings from DHS and the Justice Department. Well, consider the source. Concern over the domestic extremists has to a certain degree eclipse the focus on foreign terrorist organizations such as Al Qaeda and the Islamic State. It's nice of Al Qaeda and Islamic State to go away during these other threats, isn't
Very
it?
timely, yeah.
They don't want to, you know, give them, you know, they don't want to butt in or, you know, take up stage
Well,
space.
they don't want to confuse the American public.
Yeah, so, you know, one threat at a time, I guess. It's almost like those kung fu movies where the people are good enough to attack the, you know, the protagonist one at a time, right?
Sure, you've got 50 guys, but each one will come, to get slaughtered at one after the other. Yeah, it's just as fake as can be. So much of the falseness of the world has been exposed by the COVID lockdown. You know, it is a time of purification because the people who just cannot think clearly are being vaccinated and they're going off to whatever fate awaits them. You know, I don't know, you saw the VAERS data. I think you may have been the one who sent it to me, but the official death record of the COVID vaccines is 30 times higher than all of the vaccines together in the United States last year. So this is simply the toxic response. In other words, this isn't long term. These are just reactions to the lethal nature of the thing. This number would have closed down any other vaccine in history and any other product, I think, in history. It's just too large a number. I think they're up to like 4,000 associated deaths, which all have to be investigated. So if this was a, you know, a toaster, rest assured the thing would have been pulled and there would be investigations going on. So there's something wrong. But what's interesting to me is that the rate is going up, and we'll be able to see pretty quickly if the rate continues to increase at the same time the vaccines output is being reduced. In other words, the inoculations are reduced. Then this is your sign that the apocalypse is here, because what that will tell you is that there are side effects to the vaccine that are lethal. So I tell people, like, well, how will we know? I just say, watch the VAERS data and compare it to the rate of the injections. And if it doesn't decrease dramatically, because you're now in a, obviously the rate of injections have, I don't know what, they don't give out the statistic, but I'll bet you it's down like 70%. If that death rate doesn't go down, I mean, Tim, it means that the vaccine is starting to wind up its long-term effects, and we're going to see a real apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good at all. No. This one thing, back to this terrorist story,
yeah,
is that both Mayorkas and Attorney General Merrick Garland testified to the Senate committee this week that racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists pose the greatest domestic threat to the country at the moment. Of course, Mayorkas and Merrick Garland are, well, they're dual citizens, let's just say that. It's funny because Merrick Garland, well, funny not in a ha-ha sense, but funny in an interesting sense, is Merrick Garland himself played an interesting role in covering up the Oklahoma City bombing back in the 90s. He's the one that,
yeah,
but that convicted Timothy McVeigh and sealed hundreds of documents regarding that event. So, I mean, yeah, it's he was a Justice Department prosecutor for McVeigh, who denied McVeigh access to the media and who successfully petitioned the sealing of over 100 records, who denied OKC bombing witnesses their right to testify to the grand jury, and also arranged for the hastiest execution in the 21st century, a mere 5 years after the bombing. This achieved a permanent silence of McVeigh. So, I mean, this was something, of course, the event itself was, I don't want to get into the details of the event, but there is some question regarding the true nature of McVeigh, what his role was, his connections to intelligence agencies. He had served, some people have done research and have found that he had served as an infiltrator into these militia movements. And this is, again, one of the things of domestic terrorism sort of being promoted and stoked by the intelligence agencies, whether the FBI or CIA. And so, but it's funny that he would be talking about domestic terrorism when he himself seemed to play a key role in covering up state-sponsored domestic terrorism back in the 90s, or just in case regarding the Oklahoma City bombing.
It's a very important link. I just wanted to interject that what happened then with that false flag, which incidentally, just look at the explosion that they claimed came out of a van with fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that this is almost a 911 level of falsification. McVeigh is clearly an actor. And so this was an event. For what purpose? It was starting the process of identifying white European males as terrorists.
Yep.
And racially motivated. And so now when you have him back again with this story, I mean, it's, you know, the transparency is, I mean, obvious. They have created this meme about the white male terrorist. And they're going to use it as a way to lock us down and force us to take the vaccine, I think, going forward.
Yeah, this is why it's so important for people actually know the true story behind these events, or at least the problems with the official narrative, because they build on these false narratives, you know, whether it's a precedent or just an misapprehension part of the public about a certain event I guess facilitate future, events, and also to, again, further erode, people's civil liberties.
Yeah, I don't want to go into this because I think it's spilt milk under the bridge. But once I got into the conspiracy world after 9/11 and I couldn't explain Building 7's collapse, and I started doing research. One of the things I ended up doing was trying to see if the Oklahoma bombing had any parallels. And I actually worked with a guy for a while who knew about the nature of explosives. And he said that under any circumstance, you couldn't even get 1/10 of the, kilotonnage of explosion that you would need to do the damage that it had done so high up. So anyway, he was just saying this was obvious evidence that the thing was a false flag. And of course, you know, this was in part, it is parallel with the obvious false flag 9/11. And now, you know, the terrorism that, and the terrorists that they have, you know, presented to the public are being used prepare them, you know, the historical terrorism, prepare them for what's going to happen going forward. I mean, 10-1, there's going to be a massive false flag that'll be blamed on racially, hate-filled mm-hmm. white supremacists.
Yeah. And well, I mean, if you, I think it was, it was General Benton Parton, who was a U.S. Air Force general, who stated, I think, in a testimony before U.S. Congress, that the OKC bombing, in a report to the Oklahoma City bombing, that there were bombs inside the building and not a truck bomb, because you could see the trajectory of the explosions. And it was the actual bombs inside the building that actually destroyed the building. There were witnesses actually saw people putting wiring up the building. This traces back to Andre Strassmeyer.
I mean, it's another 9/11.
Yeah. The ATF floated the Waco, basically it was retaliation for the Waco massacre that occurred 2 years prior. That was April 19th, 1993, April 19th, 1995. That was supposedly the motivation, but then they say it was like a white supremacist thing, so they change. But McVeigh himself, remember, he allowed himself to be arrested. He drove away in a car with no tags or expired tags, no tags, I think. So a state trooper pulled him over. He had a gun on him, and he told the officer that he had a gun on him and allowed himself to be taken into custody. You know, it was this is a guy who just supposedly just blew up a building, killed 8 people, I think, was the death toll.
Yeah, most of the children.
Yeah, and he allowed him to be taken into custody.
Yeah. And then when he's supposed to be executed, he gives a biblical quote about an eye for an eye, you know, very Hebraic. I mean, the whole thing just stunk. And the American public, we at that time just didn't have kind of the intellectual grammar to, you know, fight back against the networks. It's taken a long time to get to where we are.
Yeah.
Or when a false flag occurs, there's an immediate reaction to expose it as such. And there are enough people who are skeptical that the information, you know, gets some boost and circulation. You know, I think, you know, we are now becoming more and more centrifugal. You know, we're getting the independent media is getting quicker. People are more and more skeptical, obviously, of the government. So this is all. It's all to the good, but man, it's taken a long time to get here.
Yeah, good. A documentary on that is A Noble Lie. I interviewed Chris Emery, who was one of the makers of that a few years ago, and you can still get that on DVD. I recommend it. It's over 2 hours long. It's a very, very detailed account of that. And there's also a book called, I forget the name of it, but Strangest in the Heartland or something by Timothy McVeigh. It's a very good book about Timothy McVeigh. I read that, and it goes into the whole story on that. Derangement in the Heartland. I forgot to get the title of that. Oh, well. There was also this week we had, in my part of the world, you had this colonial pipeline shut down.
Yeah.
Supposedly some sort of called ransomware, they call it, and this caused the pipeline to shut down. I was reading about ransomware, and it's weird that it would cause the pipeline to shut down. From what I understand, I was reading some articles about ransomware and what it usually does. But nevertheless, it caused the pipeline to shut down. It caused a disruption in a few days. Now, interesting enough, you had the FBI comes out with a report says that they can confirm that this gang out of Russia called DarkSide was behind it. And I think I sent you a email. I said, really? I suppose it could be true, But does a confirmation from the FBI reported by CNN really confirm anything? Just asking, the accusation is being made by the gang who created the Stuxnet malware. So, who to what to make of this? Cyber warfare is probably best for tailor-made for false flag operations because it can be any, you can just make the claim. What proof? You can't rely on the FBI or to perform any reliable
Well, I
forensics,
mean,
right? I mean,
look, the CIA created Disneyland, and now Disneyland, it runs the CIA. I mean, there is nothing left of the, this belief that there's some kind of objective
Yes.
intelligence there. Yeah.
Well, what's funny is I was we were talking before the calls is that I had heard something of this over the weekend. Okay, it might be some supply disruptions, no real problem. So I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I was out and about, and late in the afternoon, I decided to go get some gasoline, and no problem. There's no lines. It's whatever. I drive home with a full tank, and I start to do some work at home, and then I check out the news. All of a sudden, the governor of our state issues an emergency, state of emergency. He announces that there's a gas shortage, but don't panic buy. So, what do you think happened?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You've got to be kidding. Really? He actually said, don't panic buy?
Well, they say, well, taking measures. EPA's waiver is putting a waiver for clean air regulations so they can bring in gasoline from other regions that aren't formulated for the area. They can bring more gas so we can meet supplies. Now, all that's these measures can be done without fanfare, without a press conference, so people don't panic. But of course, once he said announced there's a gas shortage, people went out and topped off. They brought bags, milk cartons, gas tanks, and filled up and all that stuff. And then within, a few hours, more than half the gas stations in the state were out of gasoline.
Yeah, I mean they do manipulate us, don't they? So easy, you know.
It didn't change. Doesn't making that announcement does not change the material circumstances, right? Doesn't put,
Yeah.
but it, what it does do, it immediately increases demand. In
Well, because of fear, the
fear,
people
yeah.
do not think if they are injected with the slightest amount of fear.
Yeah, so it turns an inconvenience into a panic. I was able to avoid the whole thing, and still, right now, it's certain types, of octane gas you can't get. But now, bringing it in tanks and the pipelines coming back online and all this stuff. But it seems like they're just screwing with you because, as dumb as a lot of these politicians are, they're not that stupid. This is it's malicious. I mean, I'm sorry,
Yeah, here in California, the gas crisis spilled over into the price at the tanks, and premium got over $6 a gallon.
I heard about that. And of course, this administration is dedicated to cutting that shutting down pipelines, So, I know that does fit in well to their Green New Deal, this kind of supply disruption sort of you can't impose austerity democratically. You have to make it seem like it's something that just happens, right? Whether it's a war or a crisis or something or a pandemic and all that stuff. So when you're imposing austerity, you can't say we're cutting off your rations. You got to do it this way.
Yeah, I just want to interject. We were gonna, we, I guess we will talk about globalism. And so I was gonna go into, the Brave New World, the Shakespearean kind of, at least the origin of the term. But then I was gonna point out in the Tempest, you have this whole play on Isaiah. And Isaiah, you have this really critical passage where it says, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaken, and his soul is empty, or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but awaken, and behold, he is faint, and his soul shall have appetite. So shall all of the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. So this is the blueprint for the dream world, which is part of which, of course, key part is a fear, and then the other part, pornography. So.
There was interesting is apparently Van Morrison, the famous musician, singer, songwriter, has been accused of being anti-Semitic because he's come out with an album that apparently is well, I guess he songs that call out the bankers, the globalists, these things. And so One song is "They Own the Media" on his new album, and he doesn't identify who they is, but he nevertheless, Jewish organizations have inferred that it's them. So another case of the guilty flee where none pursueth, I guess. He's being, I guess, being criticized in the media for being a conspiracy theorist, anti-Semite, and so. Well, I guess that's two thumbs up for to Van the Man, I guess, here.
Absolutely, and he should point out that they are Jews, so that's what I meant by they. He should also qualify it because they want to hide behind this idea that I'm making a general comment, of hatred against Jews. The people who have the power, control the media, the people that I'm talking about, are dramatically overrepresented by Jewish people. It's just a mechanical fact. So that's why when you say the bankers and they people think about, well, the Rockefellers, but they're obviously going to think about Warburg, Schiff, Rothschild, people we talked about last week. So it's I think we'll see how this works, but I think it is starting to change a little bit in that people are starting to call out, the fact that there is this overrepresentation of Jews in these different fields, and that this could be leading to a bad thing for all of democracy. They don't seem to, in my opinion, they're not quite as beaten down by fear of being called an anti-Semite. And so for Morrison, I think it was very brave. And I think that, it's sort of it's like BLM when they when you pointed out last week that they went to protest the murder of a carjacker because they just knew it was black, and then they were horrified to find out the carjacker was white. Then there was no riot. And BLM was just expressing, and kind of an obvious premise in America that the vast majority of carjacking are black males, young black males. And so this is, they're BLM can have these kind of stereotypes, but Van Morrison can't, even though in both cases these are just, they're just completely obvious facts, and there's just, you can explain them in different ways, but the fact that these probabilities exist is just self-evident.
Well, yeah, the BLM needs to bring in one of those corporate programs where they try to get the employees to shed their white privilege and their racist attitudes. Because it should one of those programs, bringing Beverly D'Angelo, or what's her name, Robin D'Angelo.
Well, Tim, I would like to volunteer you for that role. I just think you do a fantastic job of like deprogramming these guys.
Shed their privilege. Some of the songs on the new album are, well, I mentioned, they're in the media. One was "Why Are You on Facebook?" and another is "Duper's Delight." So,
Yeah.
so.
I'm gonna listen. I haven't listened to any like music like that in years, but I will. I'm gonna go out and get that album and listen to it, 'cause I mean, I'm glad that there is some rebellion in from the music world. I mean, it's one of the areas that has this strange influence. I mean, look at the 60s. I mean, unfortunately, that was, I think, by and large, a CIA op, but it certainly had influence, certainly
And
changed
also Roger
culture.
Daltrey had an interesting interview too. He talked about woke culture and how it's destroying spontaneity and freedom, and so people need to get off the computers and read books again. That's what he said he was talking about.
Yeah, did you read Eric Clapton's comment, which I guess is real? I mean, I not you know it's hard to vet these things, but it was all over the internet, where he just said it was a huge mistake taking the vax.
Oh,
He just
wow.
got really sick and wasn't going to do the second jab.
There you go. So it's good for slow hand. Okay. Well, let's see here. What else? I
I
guess
wanted just to, because it's amusing, and we always try to have the most lighthearted subjects in our shows. You sent me the video of the guys who had been vaccinated and found that they had become able to attract magnets. It was like, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 of these guys, and they put a magnet where the vax was and it stays put. God almighty. When I saw it, I thought this has to be an op. This is a way to ridicule the anti-vax crowd with, this is an obvious, like the January 6th rebellion in Washington. This is just being set up. But there was so many of them, and they just had the air of authenticity because they're completely amateurish. This wasn't like these were slick, FBI plants. These were just kind of well, lumpen proletariat types. They're just really, simple-minded. And if it is an op, it's absolutely ingenious. But if just let's for the second, Tim, let's assume it's not. Can you imagine if this is the case and people start finding out that they've been turned into a kind of metal? I mean, oh God. I guess the safety trials didn't pick it up somehow.
Yes. Well, we had a thing like the COVID vaccine. It's you mentioned the VAERS thing, and so it's yeah. You said I think they have as many. They have what more deaths in the than the past 30 years of the entire the vaccine adverse emergency reaction reporting system or something.
Yeah, I mean, in an average year, which incidentally people say, well, there's only a few vaccines. No, there's like 200 million vaccines in the United States in an average year, more than have been released to for the COVID jab so far. But in an average year, there'd be like 120, maybe 150 would be high end for the entire year. For the first 4 months, we're at 4,000, which is a slight statistical issue. Particularly since the CDC says that the purpose of VAERS is to give a kind of, early warning that something may be wrong. And if you see the graphs, it just is, you have to wonder, well, what would be a number that would trigger the CDC leaping into action, trying to see if this thing was safe? Because, and of course, there's also the idea that a lot of the deaths aren't being reported, but in any case, 4,000 reported deaths by the public through April, I believe. I think through April is just there isn't anything like it in history. And this, incidentally, is not a one-off because the European reporting system and the English reporting system that are separate entities all show the same thing. So this vax cluster, because they're all in this statistic, is incredibly toxic. I mean, whether or not it's a long-term apocalyptic or sterilization effort, I don't know. But boy, oh boy, it sure is toxic, Tim. I mean, so many people are getting sick. I know about, I'd say, over 40 people have taken it. And I've encountered about five of them that got really ill to the point where they couldn't work or anything for a couple of days. And one was hospitalized. Now, this is an incredibly small number to get such a response to. So I just think this is poison. I mean, it's amazing that, the public is putting up with this, safe and effective mantra that the CDC just says, regardless of what the VAERS data, regardless of what the public, statements are about their reaction. They just hit you with the Facebook fact check. It's safe and effective. Just, de Blasio has offered free burgers and fries. So go down and get your vax and off you go. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's like okay, you throw in a free Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's, I'll go get it. Wait, really? That's gonna induce you. You have to ask yourself why so many people are allowing themselves to be injected with this experimental drug.
Well, the government is doing the purification for us. All of the people that are sort of just incapable of any kind of skepticism about anything, really, in reality, they're just they're just conditioned into accepting the pixelated world and the false narrative. You know, they're just completely mind controlled. They're just getting vaxxed 100%. They're just walking in. The rest of us are going to be a gnarly little group, and we will be purified. Particularly if, you know, like I said, if you start seeing the death rate stays static and the vaccine injection, not vaccine, the injection of the gene therapy goes down. Apocalypse is here, buddy. It's right here. We're going to start, because that means that the death rate will not slow down and that you're going to see it spike.
Yeah, again, this is hysteria has taken the place of like critical thought. I mean, you've Joe Biden, who said that the rule now is to wear a mask until you get vaccinated. Well, whose rule is that? I mean, there's no rule out there that's that. Like, what are you talking about? I was reading the Twitter thing at Twitter feed. Joe Biden says that, and the one response is just "F you."
Yeah, I think the people who are not getting the vax are also, of course, you know, anti-mask. And so I just think that these propaganda statements are going to work just fine with the brain dead, but have no impact at all. I mean, the purification is occurring, and the group that is not interested in the vax is going to hear something like that, and it's going to go in one ear out the next, and they're just going to get more and more angry.
So, well, this is all part, perhaps it is related to the main topic, which is globalism. What exactly is globalism? What does it represent? Globalism itself, as an ideology or worldview, I guess grew out of, global trade, interdependence, these things, trade networks. But it was something, I guess you could say globalism itself kind of would be an idea that effectively global government. That's the kind of the outlook here. And it was, I think it was this. This idea has been around for centuries, but it's been, obviously, as technology, transportation, communication, it became more feasible, say, in the 20th century. I think it was, it was James Paul Warburg, scion of the banking family, the Jewish banking family. He said in February 1950, before the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, a few months before the Korean War, interestingly enough. We shall have world government whether or not we like it. The question is only whether world government will be achieved by consent or conquest. So here we have a banker, supposedly, I guess, a private citizen. Of course, he was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, and telling the U.S. Senate pretty much that he and his I guess his clique or his peers are working to destroy sovereignty of nations.
Yeah.
And of course this didn't create an uproar now either by consent or conquest. So the idea is out there, but I guess the idea is globalized government, and this can be achieved not so much directly through direct governmental control, but as we've seen through these various transnational bodies like the World Economic Forum, Bilderberg Conference, organizations that were created through trade agreements like the World Trade Organization or General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, these things, International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, these transnational bodies have been created over several decades or centuries, I guess, to create the infrastructure for this corporatist globalist class, sort of organize the affairs of the world to, I guess, rearrange or arrange what they call the geographies of production. Of course, in all these terms involves a lot of, a lot of dirty tricks, wars, undermining economies, collapsing currencies, stoking civil wars, psychological warfare, all the things that we've talked about and we've witnessed over the years. And so this is how they establish it as a practical effect, as a practical matter rather. And you can say it's a function of global capitalism, although, communism plays a part in this too. It's just a difference of maybe commerce czars versus bankers or industrials controlling the thing, but it's all part of a, I guess you could say this, a same world view, an outlook or you know, understanding of man, anthropological outlook. You could say kind of arch materialist, reductionist materialist view of things. So I mean that's globalism in general, and of course we're seeing it sort of implemented with we saw you know how with the COVID restrictions how you know 160 nations just unilaterally shut down overnight. And of course obviously you need a globalist infrastructure, communication and command structure to organize something like that, or you believe this out of coincidence all these governments agreed at the same time. So what that does suggest is all these various supposed sovereign governments have been infiltrated through the years by globalist agents, you know, who represent the interests of this particular class or small grouping of people, which is probably numbers in a few thousand when you come to think about it. So, I mean, that's kind of a general overview of globalism. I could talk more about some of its character. One thing is the globalists aren't have a they have a problem with politics, domestic politics, because that can interfere in their globalist plans, their business models, their strategizing, because they have to deal with dirty partisan or democratic politics. So there's a bias against populism, and we see that, of course, against normal representative government or democratic politics. You know, I think it was Alan Greenspan who said about 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, that one thing is good is that it doesn't matter who's president or who controls the Congress, because the global economy controls things. So now it's sort of this disembodied, almost mysterious force, as opposed to individuals taking decisions and you know and implementing policies. He said because now it was the free market or the global economy that charted the course, not people. And so globalists themselves would now look at this and go, say, well, they don't want to deal with individual governments. So if you create a sort of a transnational infrastructure where you don't have to worry about domestic politics so much, you can transcend domestic politics, shunt it aside. And so it's said that, you know, globalists, they don't like, they have a bias not against the state because their corporate state runs things. They have a bias against the nation state because the nation state will represent regional, ethno, interests, and they want to do away with all that, which is why you see globalism itself working to sort of create a homogeneous global sort of the global homo agenda, where they want to make everything the same and destroy local cultures, get rid of tradition, because traditions, local cultures are impediment to new markets, to new goods, creating things like fads or new fashions. And it also they want to speed up things like planned obsolescence. Not only is there planned obsolescence in goods that we buy, whether it's washing machines or cars or computers, it's also sort of a planned obsolescence of culture, because you need the cult of fads or trends to sell goods in these things. So it's a whole like a worldview of marketing. And obviously, traditional societies aren't subject to consumerism or given to trendy fads. So they want to make everything kind of this sort of this global homo degenerate Western view of things of trade. And this also involves sort of you can't obviously you can't really observe borders or sovereignty, because in order to maximize profits, in order to bring all cultures, all people, even mothers, children, everyone into the global marketplace, get them into the labor market and get them working and into the production process, you have to do away with things like traditional family, because that simply won't be allowed. And or do away with things like borders, because in order to say equalize wages globally, you have to be able to play arbitrage with humanity and ship you know hundreds of thousands of cheap you know people from the third world or developing world into developing nations to bring wages down. And, or to weaken labor unions, which traditionally represent regional or ethnic interests. So it's a whole sort of a whole business model that destroys anything that's decent or traditional or normal, because we see that with, sort of obviously with the corporate support for things like LGBTQ and transgenderism. So and I'm kind of rambling here, but I'll let you take it over from there.
Yeah, no, well said, actually. Here in California, we are obviously at risk, of these vast global forces overwhelming our culture. But now that Caitlyn Jenner has emerged, we have hope for the future. So that's looking up. Globalism, go back to Alexander the Great. He was interested in conquering the world. The Romans, Hadrian, I think, went around the entire span boundary of the empire. And he said, this is it. Everything outside is useless. So we own the world, that's whatever part of it that's valuable. And then the Catholic Church during the colonial or exploration transition into the colonial period, they had world kind of power. Remember the line of demarcation between the Portuguese and Spanish nations? That was just a coup de crayon of the Pope. He just says, "Well, here's for the Spanish, and here's So and those cultures that were created by that world power are still in existence. It's kind of amazing. But there was also a secret subversion of the world that had been created by Christianity. And it was Judaic Masonic, I would call it. If you look at the Freemasons, just two things that kind of illustrate the long-standing plot. One is the lodge system in India, which then was responsible for the opium trade into China. I mean, there's an example of vast global control by this little tiny, I mean, Freemasonry at the head may have had a couple thousand people at that time, but they had the lodge system installed throughout India, and they were running the Raj, then they were developing the opium, then they were, I mean, Palmerston was the chief Mason of the Orient, and he's the one who actually led the gunboats. So now you then when you get to Queen Victoria, she self-identifies as a Hebrew and inserts all of her children throughout the royal families of Europe. There was a show called Atlantic Crossing on PBS, which was kind of a lightweight thing about World War II. And it was basically about a romance between FDR and this married Queen of Norway. Kind of far-fetched. But anyway, this was the story. But it was, it had some historical strands in it. And one interesting thing was is that this Queen of Norway was related to her uncle was the king of Sweden, and then when the Norwegian king got to Britain, it turned out he was related to the king. So you could see this family had, just helped itself to the royal lineages all throughout Europe. So this is a hidden globalism because it is a global reach and control, but it doesn't identify itself. The globalism of the Catholic Church was clear. It could make a declaration about itself and about what it wanted, and people could understand it. But the current globalism always has secrecy as its byline. It never, ever permits the public to see what it is doing. It was interesting to me, you mentioned Warburg and the CFR. He wasn't just a member, he's one of the founders of it. So this is very telling in that you have a, particularly in light of a statement, you have an organization which has different aspects of it, which are all outside the control of democracy. And yet it's going to become an incredibly powerful political influence, going forward. So then when you go forward from the CFR, you look at the Bilderberg and Davos now, I think would be the most energized, globalist think tank. So we've had a takeover of the global political world, and it was done, unfortunately, by a group that never would declare its intentions or make itself known to the public. This is obvious now, and then when you go into COVID and you look at 150 nations simultaneously committing cultural suicide over a disease that had a fatality rate of 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 800. So it's preposterous, a social policy. So the good thing about the COVID is that it has put the secret society, the Judeo-Masonic secret society, in high relief. I mean, public can see it now, very easy. And so this is what, when people talk about globalism, it's kind of like Van Morrison, if he sings about globalism, they'll go, "You're anti-Semitic." I would just say, yeah, I mean, this isn't a kind of it is an accusation when you mention globalism as a destructive force. You're really talking about the Masonic and Jewish collaboration, which does not ever identify itself to the public and always operates in secret and creates lifetime actors for the purpose of keeping us dreaming, as in, the book of Isaiah talks about what's going to happen to the Goyim. And so this is our world. And they, to execute their plan, they had to go through COVID, evidently, to get the vaccine out, which I think is depopulation. But this is just a guess on my part, Tim. I haven't looked inside it. I know it's malevolent, but I don't know what they have in mind ultimately for it. But in order to do this, they had to become more visible, which is the good news, because I think more and more people now are recognizing there's something completely wrong with the reality that we're being given, with the government narrative and 911 and Oklahoma City bombing and World War I. I mean, virtually everything, that people are starting to say, wait a second, we have just been put into a dream world, and where we have to wake up from it. So the vaxxed, I hate to say it, but I just think their future is bleak, and those who refuse it are going to need to use this process of purification to create an organization that can defend itself. And so that, how to do that, well, another show, we'll get into that. But mainly, Tim, I would just say the right response to globalism, when you see these global influences, Agenda 21, the Davos proclamations, I mean, all of these different aspects of globalism, look, they're all just there to confuse you. The main thing is you have to develop some power inside your community now. And that is, you get rid of the mainstream media. It's just a pack of lies and propaganda, and try to develop those kinds of connections that can defend itself. Time to do is right now.
Well, obviously, I guess you could say a counter move to globalism would be establishing sort of radical localism.
Yes,
You know, and
absolutely. Exactly. Well
yeah.
said. Yeah.
So, now you have to kind of identify it because they've had decades to work these various plans, and they can create a crisis here, pandemic here, to justify their moves. Obviously something like a global response to the pandemic, right? There you go, or a global response to the environmental movement. And the use of crises, contrived crises to justify, of course, that was admitted by the Club of Rome, a overtly globalist institution, saying that they would have to use these I guess these tactics to bring about their agenda. I think it was in the Club of Rome where, this is the 1991 quote, "In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. That's the first global revolution, a report by the Council of the Club of Rome by Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, 1991." So again, you have these elite organizations admitting that they'd have to come up with these problems, reaction solution to justify creating international or transnational relationships. So that's, I mean, so you have to look skeptically when they declare something like, what, an environmental crisis that demands global reaction, because after all, just one planet, right? Or they create like nature preserves. It sounds nice, like the World Wildlife Fund, which is really just an excuse for wealthy people to control vast swaths of land and keep people from using it, to more or less to deny people access to the land, while they themselves own vast estates and have, consume vast amounts of energy. It's a, their carbon footprint, is huge. But the, people, we can't have air conditioning or something. So that's, again, you have a network here to control these things. A good example was the Agenda 21, where they established what they call local council. I think it was the International, as a International Council of Local Initiatives, ICLEI. But it's all managed globally, through the UN, and also through various executive orders from state governors, and also the President of the United States and various heads of states. Again, this is all coordinated by people, through the United Nations and through the World Economic Forum. You've that guy up in Canada, Maurice Strong, who was a Rockefeller lackey, who himself made billions in petroleum, but then all of a sudden became an environmentalist. And he's the one that started this stuff going in the late 80s with the Rio Treaty,
Wouldn't you agree, Tim, that the environmental terror narrative just collapsed? Nothing was happening that their predictive models would call for. I mean, we had, just as an example, we had back in the 70s when they first brought out the idea of ocean rising. This was when they first got the temperature models, and they actually had a picture of where the ocean would be. It was going to come up like 6 inches, a foot, 2 foot, And they had zones. I mean, California's so wacky, they actually had these zones set up, with like different environmental aspects, as they prepared for the ocean rising. But they had to get rid of the picture in the local environmental movement because the ocean hadn't risen an inch. And so 40 years into this thing, it was supposed to be like 8 feet up, and the beach is exactly where it was. So, yeah, well, that one didn't work out. So I think that it seems to me that, at the same time, you had the independent media starting to actually communicate clear-mindedness to the Gentile, and that I think was just was faster than their models had. They knew there was going to be some use of the internet when they brought it out for pornography and and for mind control, that there would be some communication, but I don't think they anticipated what occurred. And so they had to accelerate the slave state and the genocide. And so this is what led to COVID, is because the environmental movement, which had been a mind control horror porn concept, just failed. And so they rushed into the COVID and now vax situation with, with get the vax and then you become a human magnet.
Yeah, they tried that. It was like there almost seemed like there was a final push with them when the World Economic Forum put Greta Thunberg on a pedestal.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of like the last,
It was an odd, almost
the
created Joan of Arc type
climax
figure.
blow off, when you had Greta Thunberg, yeah.
Yeah, but that and then the problem is it lacked immediacy, and of course all their claims turned out being false. Then there was a fraud that was discovered out of England with the hockey stick. The faking of the data,
Yes, yeah, the CO2 thing.
that thing. So it just it, most people, it became a point where just people weren't buying anymore. But then you create a pandemic, and oh boy, the immediacy, you're going to die in a few weeks. It just flew 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Let's get, we're all on board with this. We're all in this together. two more weeks, another month, extend the emergency, these things. Then you throw everyone out of work and you start giving them unemployment payments that exceed their income, what they were they would make working. I mean, so it's almost like a Claude Piven plan where they're breaking the system, and that works perfectly for the technocratic regime. Which if you want to install and get rid of the currency, well, one thing is like Catherine Austin Fitz talks about this. It was an attempt to sort of save the dollar with the final goal of destroying it and bringing in digital currency, and that's what that Going Direct plan, which was thinking one of these things. They met at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, one of these elite meetings, which are unofficial, but they're much more consequential than. You know, than a State of the Union address or Congress voting. And that just gives you, it kind of betrays how this globalist system really runs. It's transnational, completely unaccountable, not reported on. It's like you said, the NFL draft gets more publicity than, say, a Bilderberg conference or like a meeting in Jackson Hole where the central bankers are determining the future of the economy. And and of course, you know, that type of going direct strategy needed a pandemic to cover it up. And you have to look at these things as sort of being their purposes being stacked. One thing is the false pandemic just covers up or justifies the bailout that going direct necessitated to save the dollar. And then the pandemic then justifies the creation of this experimental drug. Which I think it ultimately speaks not only as a depopulation, but it also could be the establishment of a global tracking system. You know, that you see it with
Yeah,
passports and
that's
these
right.
things. So it's technocracy. You see the technocratic agenda being played out there, but it's all about control. And you know, the globalist agenda is basically a plan to bring all the Earth, all its inhabitants, all the people under control of a single global state. And it doesn't necessarily going to be the state that we think of it like a state, you know, the U.S. like a U.S. government. It's a corporate estate. It's transnational with these, and it's instead of relying on Congress or legislatures or courts, it's going to be an example of a small, very powerful group of people who kind of hang out at the same parties. They go to the, you know, they have the same eyes wide shut parties, and they have the same culture, beliefs. And this is their new world order, and they're going to use these international organizations, which we kind of know about, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Council of Foreign Relations, its analog in Great Britain, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, things like the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, things that we're taught to think, well, serious people don't really talk about those organizations, you know, and of course the UN and NATO, and yeah, you. Groups like NATO and UN, their importances can wax and wane over time, you know, right? And so they serve a certain function, and then new organizations are created, like the World Economic Forum tends to be right now appears to be at the forefront of this. But then they work through like the World Health Organization, and then you'll have like confabs at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where these you know very consequential, momentous decisions are made, which you know affect the entire world, but it's not reported on. And or a creation of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, you know, who go in, they'll be their work, they'll do work in undermining governments, you know, engaging in election fraud or changing the culture, and also the role of corporations, of transnational corporations, how an outfit like BlackRock, with its massive holdings, trillions of dollars of holdings, can pretty much determine. Not only the policies of a U.S. government or state governments through blackmail or through threats of boycotts, whatever, but also just through the creation of culture, through individual, you know, campaigns, through what their control of the media, whether it's advertising, music, movies, and so you have a control system where a very few are able to chart the course of humanity. And determine what people think, their tastes, their habits. And this goes back to Edward Bernays and these things. And this is a product or a result of, I guess, of technological capacity. Because before mass communication, none of this was possible. You know, so
Yeah.
cybernetics itself, the idea. I think the British started thinking about it in the 19th century because their British Empire, through the railroads and communications through the telegraph, it became something that they could see, they could control. Although I think it goes way, like you said, this goes way back even to the times of Plato. You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's the playbook for the oligarchs is pretty small, and it's thousands of year old. I mean, they have to control the population somehow. They've just become really, really good at it. They've developed technology. It's like if you see the beginning of 2001, you have the one group of eights that are beaten up, and so they go away and they ponder what to do, and then they decide that one of them has the insight that if he has a club, he can become more violent. Mm-hmm. So this is the New World Order.
Yeah, I was at a was a cookout a couple of years ago, a family gathering, and we're talking about 2001 Space Odyssey. People were saying, yeah, Stanley Kubrick's a weird man. We're trying to figure out what all that's about with this. One minute, this ape-like creature is clubbing his adversary with a with a bone of an animal. He throws up in the sky and becomes a spaceship. What's all that about? And I just said, well, it's the apotheosis of mankind through technology. It's Freemasonry.
Yeah. And he goes, what do you think the obelisk is for?
Exactly. And he goes, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. It's the apotheosis.
I mean, they developed technology so they could control the planet and are going to use it to, as the apes did in the beginning of 2001, if we don't wake the hell up.
And it's transhumanism, too. That's how you get this transhumanist agenda. It's the
And the first thing, Tim, just to digress, I mean, anyone who's on the fence about taking the vax, for God's sakes, do some research. I mean, it's just, I just think it's,
I
understand why anyone would let themselves be talked into it.
That whole magnet thing makes you think. I see videos. I mean, it used to be if you talk, hey, they're going to chip us. Incidentally, Timothy McVeigh said he was chipped. But anyway, they're going to chip us. That's conspiracy theory. That's conspiracy theory. Then you watch Klaus Schwab do an interview talking about interface, man machine interface.
Yeah, that's all he talks about.
Through what? Through chipping. That's all he talks about.
And somehow this guy has become the visionary of the future for the whole world. I mean, he's everything he talks about in the future is reported on CNN.
Yeah, but it's because, again, there's a good example of globalism. No one elected this guy. And this is a good example of they're not against governance or the state. They're against the nation state, because the nation state has to appeal or react to democratic politics or will the people, legitimacy in these things. So they're against the nation state because it'll respond to tradition or ethnic interest of that state, which is why part of globalism itself is the destruction of the ethno-state or heritage, because that way these globalists don't have to deal with that, these impediments to their agenda, it's why traditional religions are on the chopping block, and traditional sex roles, or I would call normal sex roles, male, female, these things, because the distinction between male and female is an impediment. A woman recognizing her natural role as mother, well, she'll be less involved in the production process.
Brave New World. I mean, yeah. Brave New World, going back to the Tempest, where the expression is created. And which is specifically referring to the new world that Isaiah prophesies. Mm-hmm. So it's completely transparent. When you get to Huxley and he's talking about this world that has 10 controllers and, five levels of intellectual capacity and a authority structure that is maintained by, the government's production of intellect and drugs and Casey. This is a plan that is hundreds and hundreds of years old. And so when you get to our moment now and you see, Caitlyn Jenner, and you see, the chipping of us and all of these things, look, the sky's the limit. You cannot even rule a single thing out. It's not paranoia. It's just that to create the world that they want, where they have controls over the minds of humans, because this is really what they're trying to do now. And, the whole thing with the COVID and I think with the vaccine is trying to reduce population, but probably also reduce intellect. This is probably like a major autism event in the future about to happen. And so,
well, heavy metal poisoning. What's the effect of heavy metal poisoning on the IQ?
Not good. And what's really interesting, getting back to this I'm just fascinated by this magnet. I don't know why. I just thought that this is like almost too good to be true in a way, and that it makes the vaccine as a malevolent, entity so clear cut. I mean, if you become a piece of metal, this should wake people up, right? When I saw them doing it, or the, in the videos, I thought, no, this isn't, it can't be real. But then they just keep coming now, and so we'll see. The next week, if there's another 1,000 of them, it'll become something serious.
I wonder if YouTube's banned him yet.
That's a good question. I mean, that would be something that should happen if there's any legitimacy at all. But I just cannot believe it's real. I mean, this certainly would have been something that they would have been aware of, right? I mean, they couldn't possibly have brought this thing out, and that's a unintended consequence that there's a metallic aspect to it. And I was going to mention that one thing that made it somewhat believable to me was this guy had collected all of the people in the VAERS report who had mentioned there was a metallic taste in their mouth after they took the jab. So, and this incidentally was in the thousands. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I would just say, don't take it. You don't need to experiment in this way. All you have to do is just look at the COVID phenomena and see that it's transparently false. So, there's no way that this worldwide so-called vaccine can't be malevolent.
Well,
You know, it's just not possible.
it speaks to the effectiveness of their mind control, their psychological warfare, that you can get so many people to think that the circumstances justify you willingly taking part in a massive drug trial, experiment, for a gene therapy drug, which no one can tell you what the long-term effects will be. And that's the big question, is it, it's what we don't know is the most
Tim,
important
that's so
question.
well said. I mean, that is the absolute truth. Obviously, no one can tell you what the long-term effects are going to be of experimental gene therapy. So therefore, don't do it.
And look around and do those circumstances justify coercing people into taking parts in the, I mean, putting an extreme amount of societal pressure, excluding them, this and what science says, to not what science, I don't, we've to beating a dead horse, but what science ever justified putting a mask on, nor does it justify what type of mask, and what science justified saying that this drug was is safe. It's not. It's actually it's not safe. It's because it's because the FDA
Of
hasn't
course not.
approved it. But they're pushing children to take it. It's so reckless. It's so
Well, it's a
irresponsible
malevolent.
and
I mean,
criminal.
obviously that, since children can't even get COVID. So you can see that there is something malevolent in back of the vaccine, the so-called vaccine. We don't know what it is. We don't have the data to be able to, precisely determine that. But we know for sure that it's malevolent. There's just the idea of like vaccinating children with experimental gene therapy. I mean, just give me a break. All of the claims about COVID, the original claims, the justification for lockdown, have been debunked. The latest fatality rate, which was brought out by USC, and this used far, it was used serologic, which I think is much more evidence-based. I mean, it's all absurd because, what they're claiming to see is, what is this? Is it related to a disease or not? But in any case, they determined that whatever you want to claim as the cause of the COVID, is the fatality rate was basically a 1 in 800, which is just like the flu. So this just voids the horror porn back last March where they were saying it was 5%, where Ferguson was talking about 20 million Americans would be dead during the flu season, right? During the first flu season. So now it's been codified. Now the flu and pneumonia are defined as COVID. So come next November, they'll have justification to lock us down again because when you enter into flu season, you'll start having, the ICUs filling up, and then they can say, well, the ICUs are filling up. This is the criteria. Sorry, fun's over. We're going to lock it down again. Good news is, or bad news, it's a new strain, but the good news is there's a new vax. And so they'll incrementally try to move us toward, the mandatory vaccine. And somewhere between here and there, we just have to fight. We just have to go hand to hand with, the thought puppets of the oligarchs, because it's the only way you can stop them.
What's, I guess, is it 300,000, or what are they claiming now? Americans died. Is it 500,000?
Yeah, 500, a little over 500 for
Okay,
COVID.
that's absurd. From COVID, that's
Sure.
obviously is absurd. Work out if 500,000 Americans have died. What are the odds? Let's say if 10 people, of those 10 people not knowing someone who died of COVID.
Well, we have 330 million people, so 500,000 is,
Yeah.
1 700 or something. But it just isn't, because it isn't even a real number, because so many of the deaths, I think 94% are comorbidity. So
Yes.
you're down to, 40,000, and then that's just incidental false PCR tests of weird lung diseases. I mean, the real number is zero,
Yes.
honestly. It's zero. So, and they know this, obviously. They're perfectly well. And that's why when you see guys like Peter Hotez, and a lot of the virologists that are Masonic, man, I'm telling you, Tim, I guarantee these guys know exactly the lie that they're telling.
Well, Peter
They're not
Hotez,
just confused scientists.
yeah.
They are liars and propagandists.
But Peter
They're
Hotez and Paul Offit initially came out staunchly against any so-called COVID vaccine or any mRNA drug. Then they I know Hotez has switched his tune, but
A year ago, just they
yeah.
asked him about it in a public hearing, and he said, "Are you kidding me? Experimental mRNA," said, "that's just too risky." But he just hadn't been given the memo, and now he's, in Nature, he had that article about we've got to round up the white supremacists
The white
who won't take the
supremacist. Back
vax.
to that, I guess Merrick Garland will lead that charge. All the white
So,
supremacists, who terrorists, who because of the COVID restriction removals will be more active, and not only that, they won't be getting vaccines, so they need to be rounded up. Yeah, so makes a lot of
So
sense.
for the purified, going forward, we have to be aware we're going to be labeled white supremacists, anti-Semites. I mean, just all of the terms. At one point, I think people were upset by these terms. At this point, they really should have thicker skin and clearer minds and
Well,
just.
yeah, if you have a Jewish director of Homeland Security and Jewish Attorney General declaring war on white supremacy, you might want to, be very suspicious of their motivations. I'm
I think
sorry.
that,
Given Garlick's role, again, we talked about his role in covering up the true nature of the OKC bombing in '95, which requires many more Americans to look into these things and realize the narratives, the false narratives they've been fed, have been given to them to lead them to the slaughterhouse. And so it's about time they wake up and figure these things out, you know.
Well, grim times ahead, Tim. I mean, I would, if the vaccine is not incremental. In other words, if it's, say it's mildly sterilizing and it kills one in a couple hundred and gets us ready for more gene therapy, downstream. I mean, because there are different ways they can approach it and different technologies they can develop. Who knows what in the hell's in the thing? But if it's worst case, man, oh man, talk about a dark winter. Because in the prior mRNA trials, it was when the animals that had been received the vaccine were exposed to other viruses, like in the coming flu season, that they really started to have the reaction that killed
Yeah, were these
everybody.
the ferrets or something that died, all died? Yeah.
Their lungs blew up because of the. They don't know why. They never even see. This is one of the reasons, you can. It's malevolence. The 2012 study, they never explained, well, why it didn't work. They just killed the ferrets, and then when
Well,
COVID came,
it appears, I'm not a
yeah.
scientist, but it appears the whole thing is designed to create an autoimmune reaction. How do you
Yeah.
control? How do you know how each individual is going to react to that? You don't. No.
Well, you'll know, Tim, when the animal trials are done, and the animal trials are the like 150 million Americans that have received it. That's your animal trial. So give it a couple years, and then, we'll see. I mean, God, I am very worried that it's going to be one of the worst cases, and we're going to get into, you're going to start to see the rate of vaccination, the rate of injection go down, but the mortality, the VAERS numbers will not go down. And if that's the case, God help us, Tim, because we are literally walking into the apocalypse at that point.
Resist a jab.
Yep, sir.
Yeah, and just if certain privileges are given to the jabbed and not to the unjabbed, just if you go, how do they know? Like if you're a Trader Joe's, if you've been
Wait a
jabbed.
second. What about the $1 million lotto ticket you get? You can't give that up. How about the Bellagio burger? Did you see the
That
video of that heinous fiend eating during the press conference and telling people, "Hey, these fries and burgers are delicious"? Did you see it?
No, I gotta see that. It's hilarious.
It's just, I mean, this is not even serious propaganda. This is mocking the American public as being so stupid as to take the gene therapy injection. I mean, Bellagio is literally just ridiculing them and just say, "Hey, get your jab, you get your burger, and here are the fries." And he eats the burger. He goes, "Man, this is just too good to pass up. Get your burger, guys." Just follow the science, Tim.
Burger and fries.
Burger and fries, buddy. And
Okay.
then just don't go near any magnets because you'll get stuck to the refrigerator.
Yeah, I wonder if like people will get caught like at airport security.
Oh man. The pictures of the people like lying in the streets of Wuhan?
Yes.
I mean, that's going to look like Rodeo Drive compared to what we could be looking at here in a couple months. I mean, it could be piles of bodies, because if this thing starts hitting people with autoimmune disorders. And this is worst case. I don't think it's been happening. It's very far-fetched, but it's not impossible. It's
Well,
not
I
impossible.
don't know. Maybe that was that Will Smith movie, I Am Legend,
Yeah.
where there was like a cancer vaccine which turned everyone into zombies. So I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, all of that's predictive programming. That
Yeah.
they are, they're obviously aware of something coming, that has these all the zombie movies or in the last 10 years are all about getting us ready for what's about to happen to us.
So, okay, Joe.
Brother, stay away from the vax zombies
Yeah, if I want
and don't
burger and
eat any
fries,
Bellagio burgers.
if I just want burger and fries, I'll just pay for it. I won't
Yeah, just pay for
get a shot for
and
it.
I mean, because that is a real impossible burger.
Yeah. It's like,
All
so
right, see you, Tim.
take it easy.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you
Bye-bye.
next week. Bye-bye.